All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation. And I want you to open your Bible to the third chapter, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. If you are familiar with the book of the Revelation, you know that starting in the second chapter, there are seven letters that were written to seven churches. These seven churches are in Asia. They are actually in the country of Turkey, and they were real, live New Testament churches back in the first century, started by the disciples. They were real, live churches. They had real, live preachers, pastors. They had real, live people that came and sat in their services. They were real churches. And there are seven of them in total. I want you to look at chapter 3, I'm going to read the letter that was written to the last of the seven churches. When you get to the end of this third chapter, in chapter 4, what is pictured is the rapture of the church. There is no eighth church. When you get to 7, that's it. I believe with all my heart that we are the church that is being described here in this third chapter, in the last part of the third chapter. I believe we are living today in the Laodicean time or period of the church, the last days of the last days. I know, as I read my Bible, there is not one thing that has to happen before the Lord returns. Not one. The Lord could come back at any moment. He could come back before I finish the sermon this morning, which if He does, that's fine with me. I've had about all of this transformation I can handle. My hope and change, I don't like it very well. But if you will look, please, I want to read to you what the Spirit of God, what the Lord says to the seventh, to the Laodicean church, to the last church. Now, as I read this, I want you to just kind of think it through. I think you'll realize that He's talking about us today in 2015. In verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." In other words, I wish you were either one or the other, either cold or hot. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Now, I want you to notice the last verse here. And if you're familiar with with these seven letters, you know that at the end of each one of these letters, starting in chapter 2, it ends the same way, with the same words that I'm reading here in verse 22. And here's how it ends. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I want to speak to you this morning on what is the Spirit saying to us. What's the Spirit's message to us? Let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, how we thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless this morning as we look at this third chapter of the book of the Revelation, as we think about what the Spirit has to say to us. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. And I pray also, Lord, that you will help each one of us as we listen and give us ears to hear. Give us Spirit-filled listening as we hear the Word of God this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you will be honored and glorified in what we do today. And may you speak to our hearts and draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship with you. So bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that once he ascended back to heaven, that he was going to send back to the disciples what he called another comforter. Another comforter. He had been their comforter for 3.5 years. And the Bible, the Lord said to the disciples that once he ascended to heaven, he was going to send back another comforter. So as you keep reading through the Gospels and turn the page, you get to the book of Acts, and you see that on the day of Pentecost, that other comforter was sent. That other comforter was the Holy Spirit of God, who came to indwell the believer, to guide, to instruct, to illuminate the Word of God. And so on the day of Pentecost, when they were assembled in the upper room, the Spirit of God, that other comforter, came, and the church of Jesus Christ just took off like a rocket. The gospel of the Lord Jesus was literally spread all over the known world. Now, at the end of the first century, John wrote to 7 churches in Asia, not because there were only 7 churches in Asia. No, there were many churches that were planted by the disciples and by believers all over the Middle East. Many churches. But he wrote these 7 letters, and they're included in the book of the Revelation, I think, because 7 is it's symbolic. 7, as you know, is the number of perfection. So the picture is that what the Lord says to these 7 is a message that he is saying to all churches everywhere. This is a message to congregations of people who are scattered everywhere throughout the world. Churches that are bonded together by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether your church is in Westminster, Maryland, or whether it's in Westminster, England, the Spirit of God is speaking. And John says that we are to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The thing that must grieve our Savior today, and let me remind you that the Apostle Paul very clearly tells us that the Lord Jesus gave himself for the church. And the thing that must grieve the Lord Jesus today is that so many churches that identify with his name in reality want nothing to do with him. I just don't understand that, to be honest with you. But that's true. They decided long time ago that they did not believe the Bible to be God's final word to mankind. And rather than believe the Bible, they instead follow popular culture, or they follow man-created dogmas and policies. And they decided long ago that they did not believe in what the Bible says about the virgin birth of Christ, or that he was God in the flesh, the God-man. They decided long ago they did not believe in his vicarious atonement, that he died in our stead. They did not believe in his sinless life or his death or his burial or his resurrection. All of that was too controversial. So preaching those things have been abandoned long ago in a lot of churches. Just as there is an effort to transform America as a nation, I want you to realize that there is a huge movement, and has been for years, a huge movement across America to transform the church. They feel it real important to take the word church out of their name. You notice that as you drive around. You'll see buildings, and they don't want it to look like a church. They don't want to advertise it like a church. Church is removed from the name. They want to emerge a new movement out of the old church and create something new that has as few associations and connections to church as it is possible to have. Now, I personally think it's good that they don't call themselves a church, because in truth, they're not a New Testament church. What is the Spirit saying to these churches? Well, if you read the rest of these letters, you're going to see something that is sort of a running theme. And the running theme is this: repent. Repent. In the first letter, you have left your first love. Folks, the first love of the church ought to be the Savior who died for the church. But when you turn your back on the Savior, you need to repent. And there are a lot of buildings that still have the word church across the front of them, and it's still on the sign out front. But the truth is, they ought to take the word off, because they turned their backs on their first love a long time ago. They gave up being a church the minute they walked away from the truth. But now let's take a look at Laodicea this morning. In each of these seven letters, there is a message from the Spirit of God to that church. And there is a word of warning from the Spirit to the church at Laodicea. So what is the message that the Spirit of God is saying to the Laodicean church? Us today. What is the message of the Spirit for today? As I sat and just read these verses, I tried to just encapsulate what I thought the Spirit was saying. Just kind of sum it up so I could fit it in the time frame. I know if I go past 12, you don't hear a word I say after that. So I'm going to fit it in the time frame. Three things I want you to see. What is the Spirit saying? I think number one, the Spirit of God's message for us today is get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have somewhere, somehow lost our fire for God. I believe the letter to the Laodicean church is God's description of today's church. He is describing the condition of the church just before the rapture. And notice the Lord told the Laodicean people that he knew their works. And he knew that their works reflected that they had a problem. Now, what was their problem? Well, he said, here's your problem. You're neither cold nor hot. You're neither cold nor hot. Now, you know, folks, think about it. When you're cold, you know that you're cold. Isn't that right? I mean, you're sitting there and you go, man, I'm cold. You know when you're cold. And by the same token, you know when you're hot. There is no mistaking it. You cannot sit there roasting and think, wow, I wonder what I'm feeling right now. No, you know that you're hot. You know that you need some air. I mean, you know that. And the Lord said that this church was neither cold nor hot. He said, what you folks are is you're lukewarm. And I think this is the message that the Spirit of God has to say to the church in 2015. We are a lukewarm people. We're a lukewarm people. Oh, we're not cold. I mean, we believe in all the fundamentals, don't we? We believe in all the fundamentals. We would not put up with some liberal standing in this pulpit and denying the Bible or denying the virgin birth or denying the resurrection. There's no way we would put up with that. If I invited somebody in here to preach and they got up and started preaching something that is contrary to what we know and believe in the Bible, I don't know who would be the first one to tackle him and carry him out. Would it be the staff or would it be you? So we're not cold. I mean, we know that we believe in the Bible. And I think if we're going to be honest, we also know that we are not hot, spiritually speaking. I mean, if we were all on fire for God, there would be huge crowds that our building would never be able to hold in all three services on Sunday. I mean, if everybody that identifies, if you stop them and say, where do you go to church? And they say, oh, I go to the Church of the Open Door. Do you realize how many thousands of people that is? Where would we put them? So we're not cold, I don't think. I don't think we're cold. And I know we're not hot. So where are we? I'll tell you where we are. We're in the same spot where the rest of the world is in the church today. We're lukewarm. We're lukewarm. If we would be honest, We would have to say that we are in the middle, in the lukewarm category. If we would be honest, we would have to say at best that we are lukewarm. Oh, we're saved and that we know and that we're passionate about, but can we be honest with ourselves, folks? We are lukewarm and we know it. The problem is, can we admit it? Now, question for you. Let me ask you this. You may not have sat there and said, yep, Pastor, I think you're right. We're lukewarm. Well, you might not be able to say that about things. I can say it. I think we are. But let me ask you this. What chance does a lukewarm Christianity have in our world today? You see, those opposed to Christianity are certainly not lukewarm. Those who are opposed to biblical Christianity are certainly not lukewarm. Is radical Islam lukewarm? Folks, just in the last week, radical Islam has brutally executed some 500-600 people by drowning them, by tying their hands and shooting them in the back of the head, by wrapping explosives around their necks and lining them up and blowing them to pieces, by putting them bound in cars and then taking RPGs and blowing the car out from under them. Setting people on fire, putting them in cages and drowning them in swimming pools. Are they on fire? You bet your boots they are. I mean, we're all right as long as rain doesn't cancel the game. We're all right as long as the restaurants are still open. What chance does a lukewarm Christianity have in our world today? Radical Islam is like a raging fire that is burning out of control. Let me ask you this. Is progressive liberalism lukewarm? Oh, no. Oh, no. Is the media lukewarm? Are the Sodomites lukewarm? Is CNN and the New York Slimes and Al CBS and Al NBC or the Washington Compost, are they lukewarm? Oh, no, they're not lukewarm at all. But yet the church is. Everywhere you look, you see those who despise the church of Jesus Christ literally on fire. Passionate about what they're doing. From the White House to the media to Congress to the Supreme Court, you will find no lukewarm hearts anywhere among any of them. Fueled with passion. Passion and fire from hell itself. The enemies of the gospel of Christ are driving their agenda and winning in just about every turn. Oh, it grieved my soul to turn on the news and see the White House decorated in the rainbow colors of the Sodomite agenda. I tell you, it's sad. They have relentless energy. They have unending funding. They have unceasing determination. And they will not be satisfied until they have accomplished their goal. And what is their goal? Their goal is to destroy every vestige of fundamental Bible-believing Christianity. Make no mistake about it, that's the agenda. It's to silence us. It's to shut us down. That's the agenda. And what is the church doing today? Well, it's almost like we're just sitting around hoping and praying for the trumpet to sound so the Lord will come back and rescue us from ourselves. That's almost the way we, well, you know, the Lord's coming back, Pastor. Folks, listen, the Republicans said, vote for us and we will stop Obama. Remember that? That was just a couple of months ago. Vote for us and we will stop Obama. So what did we do as a nation? We went to the polls and we voted them in record numbers, by the way. And what did they do? They turned right around and they support Obama and enable him at every turn. Folks, they have made these progressions in his agenda just in the last few months because of the Republicans that we put into office back a couple of months ago. Unreal. Unreal. There's no lack of fire among them. I'm talking about Republicans, folks. No lack of fire among them. And now we know what they are, don't we? We know whose side they're on, don't we? And I tell you, it's not our side. It's on the side that hates America, that blames America, and is with flaming passion going about and going along with the transformation of America. Folks, I kind of liked America the way it was. I kind of liked our country. And so here we are now, and we all feel so powerless after this week, don't we? We all feel so powerless. What can we do? I mean, we vote and it doesn't even seem to matter. So in frustration, we throw up our hands and we just stay as lukewarm spiritually as we can be. Folks, I want you to know, you're not going to win this battle at a ballot box. What we're in is a spiritual battle. And so we lukewarm Christians sit around and say, oh, well, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we're just praying the Lord returns. Second thing that Spirit says, look at this. The Lord says, our lukewarm condition makes him sick. It makes him sick. That's a pretty strong statement, don't you think? It makes him sick. You see, the city of Laodicea had a water situation that is illustrated in the picture here. The Phrygian mountains were above the city of Laodicea, snow-covered most of the time. And when it melts, it runs down to the Lycus River, and that water that runs down into that river is freezing cold. Comes out of the snow, out of the ice. But down in the valley where Laodicea is, where the Lycus River runs along, it runs into what's called the Meander River. And hot springs sent their boiling water into that river so that when the people from Laodicea came to gather water out of the river, what they had was a lukewarm water. The cold water coming down from the mountains and the boiling hot water from the hot springs that were all around them. And so when the people gathered water, what they got was lukewarm water. Now the Lord Jesus said, you know, folks, I wish you were either hot or cold. One or the other. Now, let's take the two words, hot and cold, and let's just think about them for just a moment. What would you say is a cold church? Well, I think a cold church is one that has denied the cardinal doctrines of the Scriptures. And our world today is filled with churches that are just like that. They're just going through the motions of church. No gospel is preached. They have this form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Nobody ever gets saved. Nobody ever makes a decision. Nobody has any urgency or zeal or fire or life. There's no blood. There's no soul winning. And they're just going through the motions of having church. That's a cold church. How would you define a hot church? Well, all you have to do is read the book of Acts and you'll see a church that is on fire and burning with the truth. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what a hot church is. But God says the lukewarm church makes him want to spew them out of his mouth. Man, that's bold language right there. God says, the Lord says, this lukewarmness makes me want to vomit. That's what he's saying. How many times have you seen something disgusting and then you said, oh man, I think I'm going to throw up. Oh, that makes me sick. Well, when the Lord Jesus looked at the spiritual condition of his church in the last days, the lukewarmness of their hearts made his stomach turn. What is a church if it's lost its fire? What is a church if it's lost its fire? Joseph Parker, who was a contemporary of Spurgeon, pastored on the other side of town in London from where Spurgeon was. And he said this. He said, a church without the unction of heaven is like Vesuvius without a fire. It's like Niagara Falls without the water. It's like the firmament without the sun. A church that has lost its fire is like salt that has lost its savor. So what is the Spirit's message to all of us Laodiceans? Well, look at verse 19. The Lord said, be zealous. If you look up the word zealous in your dictionary, you will eventually find out that word means to be hot, to have passion, to have energy. The Spirit of God is basically saying to us, hey, church, get on fire. Get your fire back. Get excited about what's happening. Read your Bible and get to know the God of your Bible and realize who you serve. He is ordering us to abandon our lukewarm condition, to repent. And I think the modern day Laodiceans need to do that more than anything else. Repent. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Christian, let me ask you, do you hear that sound? Do you hear that? Do you hear that sound? That's verse 20. Do you hear that? You say, Pastor, what is that? That's the Lord knocking on the door of your heart, asking to come in. That's the Lord saying, hey, remember me? I'm the one that lifted you out of the pit. I'm the one that put a new heart in you. I'm the one that died on the cross for you. I'm the one that redeemed your poor old sorry soul. And all I want to do is come in and have some fellowship with you. But you see, we get so busy, don't we? Oh my, we've got this project going and that project, and man, we got our sports and we've got our book face and our Facebook and we got everything going. Man. Oh yeah, the day's over. Did you read your Bible? No, I was too busy today. And you just keep hearing that knocking. What is that? What is that sound? Well, that's the Lord saying, remember me? Do you remember me? And he wants to come in and he wants to fellowship and he wants to rekindle the fire burning in your bones. What's the Spirit saying to the church today? Number three, the Spirit is asking us to open our eyes. Open our eyes. Look at the last part. Look at the last part of that 18th verse. He said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Having natural hot springs in your town has always been a big economic boom. Always has been. If you have hot springs, natural hot springs, money is to be made. And it was the case in Laodicea. Folks would come from all over to soak in the hot mineral water springs. And with hot springs, there is always mud that goes along with the springs. There's always mud. And it was the case in Laodicea. Capitalism kicked in. I know that's an evil word today. But capitalism, back 2,000 years ago in Laodicea, kicked in a big way in Laodicea. And some folks took the mud and they started a business. And it became a very profitable business. They took the mud and they mixed in the mud some essential oils that gave it a good smell. And they told folks that if they put this on their faces, it would help their complexions. And they sold it all over the Roman Empire. They shipped this stuff out of there in camel caravans and took it all over the known world. Oh, they got rich selling mud. You with me? Now, here's an amazing thing. They told the world, you put this on your face and it'll take care of all those bags under your eyes. Now, you young people, you don't know what I'm talking about, but you wait, you will. Your days are coming. And, you know, today, if you're sitting there looking at the world and everything's a little fuzzy, you can go to an optometrist. And they will put you in a little chair and put these little things over your eyes. And now, is that better or is that better? Is that better or is this more clear or that more clear? And then they will take a piece of glass and they will grind it a certain way, put it in a set of frames, put it on your face, and you can look through it and go, wow, I can see now. Back in Bible times, didn't have that luxury. And people back in Bible times, some of them had bad vision just like we do today. So the mud doctors at Laodicea put a little caveat on their mud bottles and they said, if you put this on your eyes, it will help you see clearly. Well, man, think of the thousands upon thousands of people that encouraged to dig in their pockets and get a few shekels and try it out. But in the last century, back in the mid-1900s, an analysis of this mud was done. Some scientists went over and they got the mud from Laodicea and they did an analysis of it and they revealed a very interesting find. The analysis revealed that there were absolutely no healing properties in the mud at Laodicea. None. Zero. But folks got rich selling that useless mud to people. These people were blinded and deceived into buying a product that did absolutely nothing for them. And that made me wonder, how many false prophets today are peddling a product that helps nobody? And the Spirit tells us Laodiceans that we best get the real eye salve on our eyes. And folks, the real eye salve is the light of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to see the truth of God's Word. The psalmist said, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I am convinced, as I have preached for years now, ever since I've been in the ministry, I am convinced that the reason we have become so lukewarm is because we do not read our Bibles like we should. I heard about a pastor who got up a couple of months ago and he announced to his church on a Sunday night, I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Hezekiah chapter 3. And then he just stood there and watched. And man, folks were turning feverishly trying to find it. And he said, finally, after 5 minutes, one of the deacons stood up and said, I got it. There is no book of Hezekiah in your Bible. Just so you know. This Laodicean mindset is only going to be changed with God's people getting in God's word. Now, Christian, let me ask you this. What's it going to take to light a fire in God's people today? What's it going to take? Persecution? Well, if the Lord tarries, that's coming. That's next. Church, listen to me. We have sat around and watched the liberals destroy our country. Are we going to sit around and watch them destroy our churches too? We better get rid of this lukewarm mentality. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Holy Spirit's message to the lukewarm church today is get on fire and repent of your sin. When, Christian, when was the last time you got down in the dust with God? When was the last time you got on your face and confessed sin and prayed for a fervent heart? When was the last time? Brethren, listen, we have lost America. I'm sorry to have to say it, and I know that it grieves you to hear it, but the America that we knew and we loved and we have grown up with, I'm sorry, but it's gone. We lost it this week. Hang the black flag over the country. It's dead. The fundamental transformation of the last 6.5 years has taken our founding documents, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights, and they have shredded it with their own hands. We have been betrayed by the very people who promised us that they would stand against all this socialism. Now, my question is, are we going to lose our relationship with God as well? Are we going to lose our church as well? Let me remind you that just 3 weeks ago, Hillary said in a campaign speech that folks like you and folks like me who believe the Bible, that we're going to have to change our convictions and get with the agenda that Obama has set for the country. Well, brethren, I want to serve notice on you. I'm not bending to Caesar. I will not bow to King Obama or to Queen Hillary. It ain't happening. So it's high time to awake from our apathy and get serious about serving God. Because, brethren, we're going to have to be serious. Or we're going to kowtow, and we're going to bend, and we're going to buckle. But I want to say again, and I say it without apology, I am not going to support same-sex marriage. Period. You say, well, Pastor, what's going to happen? I don't know. We're going to lose our tax-exempt status? Probably. Probably. Are we going to be called the bigoted church, the racist church? Yeah, probably will be. So get ready for it. You get ready to be looked down your nose at by your neighbors. You get ready to be talked about in the paper. You get ready to have vandalism. Get ready for it. Get ready. Because that's what's coming. You're either going to get in line or you're going to pay the price. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not getting in line. So what are we going to do? Because I'm telling you, folks, they're on fire for their position. And it's time for God's people to get on fire for our position. And if we don't, we're in trouble. They will steamroll all over us. And I'm not going to let that happen without a fight. What's the Spirit saying to you today?